Amen. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Howdy.
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 There you go. That's the way you say howdy right there. Thank you all for having me this evening. Thank you, Pastor. I mean, you know, Connie, my wife, and I have been here a few times and come to love your pastor, heard him preach, believe him to be a man of God that preaches with authority. I don't know why he asked me. You have to see about his judgment after this. Amen? It's a great day to be in God's house. And we appreciate being here. I want to add a commercial real quick at the beginning of the service. Amen? Next month is Pastor Appreciation Month. Take October and let this man know how much you appreciate him. Recognize him, honor him, give him some extra time off. That way he can hear me. No, no. But we forget, and it was in Mark, in chapter 6, where Jesus and the disciples had been working so hard and so busy in ministry, the scripture says they didn't even have time to eat. And Jesus said, get in the boat, we're going to Bethsaida. Now, Bethsaida was a fishing village. He's basically saying, okay, we're going to go fishing. They didn't end up there. They ended up in a place of green grass, a place to feed and rejuvenate. Because pastors need that. Give him that song. Let him know you love him. Amen. I know you do already. But take October, then even past that. Just special. The hug on your pastor's neck. Love his wife, his family. And let him know how much you care about them. Amen? Commercial over. We're going to talk about love. I love the picture you got up here, the fire of Christ's love. We're going to talk about love real quick. I'll say real quick. I shared earlier, my last Sunday in the pulpit of First Baptist Church of Rio Grande City, Texas, was June the 11th. Now, for a preacher, a pastor, that's a long time not to be here. So we figured I got 7 hours. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to preach the whole Bible tonight, amen? But open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to talk about how much God loves us. Now, as we start, let me just ask you the question. Do you know that God loves you?
Amen.
Do you know that God loves you? See, so often we say, yeah, I know that God loves me, but when we need him, we turn to everywhere else. When it's time to come to church, we turn on the Dallas football game. Well, up here, I'm sorry, we turn on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we look at everything else and find every excuse in the world to not be in church. And I know I'm preaching to the choir kind of because it's Sunday night and they're right here. But to those who are listening on the radio or on, we need to give God our best. Because he's given us his best. When it's time to go to our prayer closet or break open the Word of God at home, instead we pick up that remote control or lay that easy chair back instead of loving on God. Connie and I heard a preacher say sometime, he said, you got to tell your spouse you love them twice a day. Well, now, so when I tell Connie I love her, I say, okay, that's one. That's one, but I love my wife. Been married for 35, almost 36 years. Dating for a couple years before that. And God works in ways beyond what we can imagine. Many of y'all remember the store that was down on the corner in New Era? I was working in Parkersburg. And this will tell you that drinking gets you in trouble. I would come back, and I was going another route. My dad said, get off up here on Medina Road. It's shorter. So I said, okay. So I'd get off of Medina Road and I'd go past that store and I said, boy, I sure am thirsty. So I started pulling in there and grabbing something out of the cooler and Connie was in college, and I saw that pretty girl. I said, oh, my. Oh, my. Talk to Terry, who owned the store then. Yeah. So even more often, I'd stop in there and open that cooler and reach in there. This is key, so you're not mad at me. Pull out that quart of Bratton's chocolate milk and go up and made sure she was there to pay for that milk. God used that chocolate milk drink and get you in trouble to put us together. That's how much God loves us. He does things that we don't even understand to pour out his love upon us. And hopefully you found Genesis chapter 1 by now. In the beginning, God. We could stop right there. In the beginning, God. He was in the beginning. He just didn't appear when it was time to get stuff built. He was always here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, here from the very before beginning. But in the beginning, God, where do you start your day? Where do you begin your waking hours every day? When I get up, I'm a mess. My hair's all messed up. You think I'm ugly now. But I'll look at that mirror in the morning, and I don't care what I see there. I know that I've earned the right as a believer to be called a child of the King. I know that God loves me. And I know that he has a plan for this day, and my job is to share his love with others as we go throughout the day. Where do you start your day? In the beginning, God. Do you pull out your checkbook? If someone was to look at it and go through it, could they say, okay, in the beginning, God. God, if they pulled out your day planner and looked through it, could they tell, in the beginning, God. When I was pastoring in Victoria, Texas, there was a gentleman that was there, and he had one of those high-pressure CEO-type jobs. And I was, wanted to go meet with him and set up a time. He says, I can't meet you then. I've got a meeting. What I come to find out is in his planner, with his secretary, with the whole corporation, every day at a certain time, he scheduled an appointment with God. And nobody got past his secretary during that time. And when it was over, he'd come out and say, okay, who's next? How can we say that? In the beginning, God, in every single aspect, because when it comes to us, in the beginning, God. What did God do that shows his love for us all the way back at creation? Well, he made the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Think about that. We don't think about that, the immensity, the largeness of God's love very often. We just take advantage of it. We overlook it. When was the last time you stopped and thought to yourself, wow, it sure is good to have something to walk on? God made that. When did you last think about, wow, air sure is good? God made that in the beginning. He didn't make it for him. He didn't need it. He made it for us. Because in the beginning, at creation's initial moments and before, God knew you. You weren't a surprise to him. We forget that God made us. That he formed us. And gave us life. But we also forget that God chose our parents because they had to get together to make me. But it's more than that. God made our grandparents because all of our grandparents had to come together to make our parents so that God could make me. God's sovereignty in creating you dates back to in the beginning. You're not a surprise to God. He's loved you a long, long time. Just as he made the light in the dark, he made you just the way you are. If you could see you the way God sees you, you would see his fingerprints all over your life, all over your face, because he made you. You are a masterpiece of God's creative love. And it dates all the way back to the very beginning. He loved you then. He loved you throughout history. And he loves you even when you mess up. How many of y'all have ever messed up? My wife says, I better raise both hands. Now, I used to run these hollers and ridges. Amen? And I don't know how many of y'all knew me when I ran these hollers and the ridges. My wife's precious mama, Jean White, didn't want me for her daughter, I don't think. Because I was one of the ones that would come out of a building that's a church now down in New Era and do donuts around the yield sign. Take the monkey bars from the elementary school and put them in that intersection. I was not a very well-behaved young man. Amen? But I came to be her favorite child. I used to tease her about that. I say, yeah, you got 5 kids of your own, but I'm your favorite. And I loved her, and she loved me. And I miss her. We mess up. The Bible says that even when I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Why would he do that? I wasn't worthy of it. I didn't deserve it. You've heard the story. Well, that one ain't going to live to be 30. You've heard that. I had people say, he's not going to reach 25. But even when I was that sinner, as Paul says, the worst of them all, God loved me. He knew the plan that he had for me. He knew the path I was going to travel. Even though sometimes he just had to shake his head. Well, that was yesterday. Even though sometimes he had to wonder what he's doing, he still loved me. And he still loves you. And if you think there's something in your life that God can't forgive, that God can't restore, that God can't make new, you're wrong. You're out of line with Scripture. Because God, not only is he love, but if we admit we're sins, if we repent of our sins, and if we turn away from them and turn towards him, the Scripture says he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins. I've experienced that forgiveness. And I'm so happy about that, that God loved me, not only at the beginning, not only through my ancestors, but also through my mistakes and my failures. God loves you. And you know what? He loves you today. He loves you today. John 3:16, you all know that. Amen? At least I hope you know that. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world but to save it. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Think about it this way. For God, creator, sustainer, provider, King of kings, Lord of lords, sovereign God over all eternity, looks at you and says, you know, I love that one. I don't want to see them in a pit. I don't want to see them eternally burning with the worms. I want them to have a second chance. I want to give them new life. I think they make a good new creation. And I'm going to do everything, everything in my power to give them that every opportunity. Why? Because he loves you. And he didn't give up on you. He pursued me and chased me, caught me down in a parking lot of a church and said, hey, what are you doing? It's about time. You got this right. For God, the only one that can give salvation, the only one that can get us into heaven. I can't get there on my own. I'm not good enough. I'm not pure enough. I'm not holy enough. And to be quite frankly, my Chevy truck isn't going to get me there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And who? No one gets to the Father except through me. He provided that pathway because he loves you. For God so loved you that he sent you his only begotten Son so that when you believed in him, you would not perish, but you would have everlasting life. God did not send his Son to you to condemn you. He sent his Son to save you. And I needed saving. Amen. I needed saving for myself. For God so loved the world. It's a simple message that we all know. But now here comes the rubber hits the highway part. Amen. Y'all thought this was going to be all warm and fuzzy. Oh, it's okay, you'll be fine. No, because you got to live like you're loved. If I didn't go home every day to my wife, if I didn't wake up in the bed beside my wife, and if I didn't spend the day with my wife, how would she know I loved her? We just don't get married and say, okay, love you, see you sometime. No. We spend time, we talk, we sacrifice, we serve, we humble ourselves before our wives. And yes, Connie, I know sometimes I aggravate you. She told me today, you're getting on my nerves. Some of you all identify with that. I said, it's okay, dear, I love you completely, and that last nerve needs some attention too. But if you know that you're loved by God from the beginning, through your history, through your failures, through this very moment right now, it should have an effect on how you live your life for Jesus Christ. And if you're happy not serving, if you're happy not growing, and if you can be happy watching a football game on Sunday instead of being in God's house, you need to look at your life and say, am I saved? Do I have a real relationship with the one who gave everything for me? Because so often, hear this, so often we are deceived. And we all know it, false prophets, false teachers, but folks, the enemies will get in our own brain and give us false ideas. And we can be in a church, we can serve in a church, we can have our name on every pew down the aisle in a church, we can give more money than anybody ever has in a church, but that is not going to get you into heaven. The scariest sentence to me, the scariest sentence in the Bible to someone maybe who's been that way, sitting in the pew since they were the kid, got baptized because grandma was in town. The scariest sentence in the Bible is the one where Jesus looks at him and says, I don't know you. Depart from me. I don't know you. I don't know you. It's in Victoria, Texas. 70-year-old lady, precious, precious lady, grew up in that church, taught the little kids for 40 years, shared the gospel with them, led them vacation Bible school. One Sunday she came forward. She said, Pastor, I don't have a relationship with him. Been around him, know who he is. I don't have a relationship with him. And that scripture, where they say, well, I did this, and he says, I don't know you, opened her eyes that she needed Jesus Christ. Amen. She needed a Savior. That was a Victoria. There's 300-some people there. Shocked them. She said, I don't care. I don't care. I need Jesus. Do you need Jesus this evening? Have you come to realize this evening that you've been around him? You've grew up next to him? You've heard his name? Others have talked about him? But you don't know him. You don't know him. Maybe tonight's the night where you've heard that God has loved you from the very beginning of this earth's existence. That he's loved you throughout your ancestry, your entire history. He's loved you even when you haven't been easy to love. And he loves you right now. Maybe this is the night that you come forward. Bow down on this altar. Come talk to your pastor. Say, Pastor, man, I need Jesus. When Jesus spoke, and we'll close with this, maybe, as he began his Sermon on the Mount, he says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you realize that tonight? Let's pray. Father, tonight as we gather here in this sanctuary, this place of peace and acceptance, a place of protection and encouragement, Father, we gather in the precious and the holy name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we pray, Lord, that you reach your arms around and hug this whole congregation, Father, up tightly in your arms. Father, for some or one that don't know you, Father, we pray you'd speak into their heart life and their need for you, that you love them, you're here for them, and you want them to be part of the family. Father, this is your service. And Father, we ask for your very best. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.